This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
You're listening to the Anderson Files. This is Mike Anderson, your host. And co-hosting today is my colleague, Mark Allen. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Very good. I'd like to introduce our guest today, Jeff Sott. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff is nationally known equity strategist who regularly appears on cable network financial news. He's on the advisory board of Capital Wealth Planning and is principal of Sott Strategies newsletter. For over two decades, Jeff was the chief investment strategist for Raymond James. Jeff, this is we're in unprecedented times right now with the markets, and in this period of COVID-19. Have you seen anything that's comparable in your 30, 40 plus years in the securities business?
Actually, I got into the business in 71, so I'm in the business 49 years. I came into our trade desk in New York City for $100 a week. And I've worn most of the hats you can wear. I was a stockbroker after that, and branch manager, analyst, portfolio manager. I'm managing money here, too, with Capital Wealth Planning, as well as we have the Sott Strategy Letter, which is a subscription-based weekly. I write on Mondays. My right-hand guy, Andrew, writes on Wednesdays, and another right-hand guy, Harry, writes on Friday. So it comes out three times a week. And in response to your question, no, nobody's ever seen anything like this, and it's pretty much unanalyzable. I mean, I think the market bottomed. I mean, I'm not a broken clock bull. My dad used to tell me, my dad was a portfolio manager, he said, son, if you think it's going up, be bullish. If you think it's going down, be bearish. But for gosh sakes, take a stand, make a call, because there's so many people in this business that won't make a call, or either that or they talk out both sides of their mouths, so that no matter what the stock market does, they can say, I told you that was going to happen. And when you make calls, you're going to be wrong, and you're going to be wrong more often than you think. And the real trick for a successful investor is to be wrong quickly for a de minimis loss of capital. That's the secret to being a successful investor. So there was a Dow theory is the interrelationship between the Dow Jones Industrials and the Dow Jones Transports. There was a Dow Theory sell signal on September 23rd, 1999. I wrote about it and told people it's not Jeff Sott, it's not Raymond James, it's Dow Theory, the oldest indicator out there that's telling you the best has been seen and discounted, and you ought to raise some cash and not let anything go very far against it. There was a Dow Theory buy signal in June of 03. There was a Dow Theory sell signal in November of 07. And then we got a pretty big drop, and then in October of 08, 92.6% of stocks traded made new annual lows. I don't think that has ever happened. The majority of stocks bottomed in October of 08. The averages went lower into March of 09 because the financials kept going down.
Right.
But the majority of stocks bottomed in 08. In any event, despite what's happened, I still think we're in a secular bull market. Secular bull markets do not end because of the 30 or 40% pullback. If you look at long-term charts, the secular bull market that began in 49 ended in 1966. Were there pullbacks? Yeah, the Jack Kennedy steel crisis in 1962, where steel companies raised prices, and the president said, you can't do that, you got to put it back down. The equity markets didn't like that, and they lost 30-some percent in a very short period of time. But it didn't stop the secular bull market. The 82 to 2000 secular bull market had the 87 crash, but the secular bull market went on for another 13 years. So these people that tell you that just when the market pulls back 20%, it's a bear market, have not studied market history.
Right.
So I still think we're in a secular bull market. I think the low was made on March 23rd at 2191.86
right.
by the S&P 500, and I don't think we're going to retest that.
Jeff, thank you. And with the stimulus package from the federal government, with the Fed making several moves to provide liquidity and lowering rates, and you know, over the last couple of weeks, the market's recovered about half of the loss year to date that it experienced, and you know, we're getting hit with the headlines of more unemployment filings piling up from week to week. And you know, for small business, as we know, it looks harsh, and the market is starting to recover and today is holding fairly steady. You know, who do you think is going to win out here in the short term? Is all the effort being made by the federal government, the Fed, kind of counterbalancing the ugly things that are happening in reality on the street?
Yeah, the other week, the Fed head Powell's statement was very powerful when he said, quote, "We will continue to use these powers forcefully, proactively, and aggressively until we are confident that we are solidly on the road to recovery." And probably the most important historic statement was this, and I quote, "We should make them whole. They did not cause this. This crisis is different from any other in recent history in that it was not caused in any way by business or investors. Unhindered by moral hazard, the response of fiscal and monetary authorities is and will continue to be unprecedented, with the goal of essentially making everyone whole." That's a very powerful statement, and it basically says the Fed is going to do everything in its power, and it has a lot of power to keep this country. Although I will admit, if the virus hangs on, the odds of going into a recession go up. But the Fed is going to do everything in its power to keep this country from going into a recession and to keep the market, in my opinion, continuing in a secular bull market.
As far as the statement from the Fed, I mean, outside of what was spent to fund World War II, is there anything even remotely comparable to what's in motion with the Fed right now and the federal government to really anything since World War II? Or is this kind of a singular event in terms of their effort?
I think it's a singular event. I mean, I've studied a lot of economic and stock market history, and I don't recall anything like this ever happening, even in World War II, not to this extent.
So as far as your read and with your colleagues, seeing the worst in the market probably occurring that third week of March, and you know, this may be a difficult question, I'm sure it is, but just to get your take on it, where do you think we'll end the year with the markets, or
I think we'll be at new all-time highs.
Really?
Yeah, let me interject one thing here. Our short-term model had flashed a sell signal on January 13th. I wrote about it and told people to raise cash, and if you wanted to hedge some of your positions, hedge your positions. And I didn't think the decline was going to be from top to bottom intraday basis. It was about 37%. I didn't think it was going to be that deep, quite frankly. But you had intense selling pressure. In fact, more intense than anything in 08 or even 74 for that matter. in that mid-March time frame than anything I've ever seen in 56 years of looking at markets.
The so the call at this point that will be at all-time highs, and do you see the intensity of the volatility that we experienced in March, that level or near that level of volatility continuing over the next several months? Or do you see that abating?
I think you'll have volatility, but not that was the most intense selling going into the March low over an 18 session period. You had 8 90% downside days, meaning 90% of the total volume traded up to down came in on the downside. I don't think that's ever happened. And then 2 weeks ago, last Tuesday, you had a 90% upside day, meaning 90% of the total volume traded came in on the upside, and that was followed by 2 80-plus percent upside days. That is how bottoms are made, and that's why I think the March 23rd low was the low, and I don't think we're going to retest it.
Okay. The and it, in some of your previous commentary, which I read regularly, by the way, you had referenced that, you know, a bottom is made over time. It's not a singular event, and you've compared it to, you know, someone having a heart attack. They just don't jump out of bed and they're, you know, up and running. They convalesce. And do you see, you know, as far as the convalescing window, you know, through April, May, and then maybe the end of the second quarter, you know, the fundamentals will start kicking back in, and we're back on the path we were in January of this year. Is that kind of the timeline that you're seeing, or is it really a little too gray at this point?
It's pretty gray until you get this virus thing under control. I mean, if the virus thing and this country stays closed down into June or July, you know, we're probably going into a recession. I mean, I just heard that 70% of Cincinnati's income comes from sales taxes. So the longer this thing shuts us down, you know, the odds go up that we're headed towards the recession. Right now, at this point in time, I don't think that's the case. And the people I talk to, I lived in Atlanta twice, the people I talk to at the CDC thinks, you know, they're going to start to try and open certain things in mid-May. In fact, Germany on May 1st is opening up 8,600 square foot stores and under car dealerships, department stores, and they're going to put their kids back to school on May 4th. So, you know, it's starting to happen elsewhere, so it's probably going to start to happen here.
Right, exactly. You're listening to the Anderson Files on PodClip. I'm your host, Mike Anderson, and my guest, Jeff Sott. Jeff, for the markets, as gray and kind of blurry as things may seem at this point, and the reality of, you know, what's happening with employment and companies and payrolls and, you know, all the rest of it, what are some positive signs of what the market has been doing over the last couple of weeks that you've observed that are giving some indication of hope going forward? Are those signs appearing?
Yeah, we from my standpoint, we appear to be in a buying stampede. That said, many still display a huge lack of trust, and their comments or biases support this These are things like, it's a bear market rally, keep your powder dry, we'll never retest the lows. Does that sound familiar?
Absolutely.
As those who were recommending caution back in mid-March must convey a similar message, as the market has certainly proven them wrong. A near 30% lift on supporting volume and expanding breadth readings suggests that things are continuing to improve on a daily basis. Even when you get a day like this where the Dow's off a couple hundred points, that's all part of the what I would call the bottoming process. But I think the actual low was made on March 23rd, and I think we're still involved in a bottoming process. I just don't expect the markets to go back down and test that low.
Jeff, for the through the last several weeks now, with everything that's occurred, from your almost 50 years in the business, what about this has surprised you the most, if anything, that it has really just singularly jumped out at you and your, you know, from your perspective and knowledge and experience with the U.S. equity markets?
I didn't think the decline would be as deep as it was, and a lot of stocks went down a lot more than the market did. That was surprising to me. But you know, other than that, it's still, in my view, a secular bull market, and very few people believe that.
Do you think that's the case, where few believe it because they haven't experienced different cycles in the market, and like you said, they may not have the view that you have and some of your very experienced colleagues have, that, you know, their perspective just isn't long enough to be able to even begin to kind of digest that view? Because I can imagine, yeah, that, you know, from your travel around the country and with portfolio managers and clients and so on, that do you think it's just because perspective from their part just isn't broad enough, or a certain degree of panic that, you know, it can't be anything other than a catastrophe? Do you think that's where they're coming from?
Having a long-term perspective and decades in the business certainly helps. But here's the main problem with most investors. In the book, The Intelligent Investor, which Warren Buffett says is the best book ever written on investing, my dad made me read it when I was 13, and I've probably read it a dozen times since then. And the main theme running through the book is captured in this quote by Benjamin Graham, when he says, "The essence of portfolio management is the management of risks, not the management of returns." And he closes that thought by saying, "All good portfolio management begins and ends with this premise." My father used to put it much more succinctly. He said, "Son, if you manage the downside in a portfolio and avoid the big loss, the upside takes care of itself." And he's exactly right. And the problem is, most investors don't manage risk. They're told, well, nobody can time the market, so you got to take the good with the bad. Well, if you stayed long between the Dow series sell signal in November of 07, by March of 06, the S&P had lost 56% of its value. So we actually raised 40% cash in November of 07 and hedged some of the positions using options that we didn't want to sell. And we still lost money, by the way. I lost 8.5% in 2008, but it was a lot better than the 56% that the equity markets lost. So right. The biggest mistake investors make, and it's why they're scared to death right now, is they don't manage the risk.
Jeff, and for the different sectors between IT, healthcare, financial, consumer staples, you know, communications, energy. What sectors do you see kind of leading us out of this, and which ones do you think will lag for a while?
Technology will lead us out of here. Energy is cheap, but I don't think it's going to lead us out of here. I'm not real wild about utilities, and I'm not real wild about consumer staples. A lot of the portfolio managers I talk to have had to put money to work, and they haven't believed the rally. They didn't believe the rally in 2018 or 2019, and yet they've had to put money to work, so they bought things like consumer staples, which is why they bid up companies like Procter & Gamble to about as richly multipled as they've ever been.
With the unemployment numbers stacking up daily, we're over 15 million now, over 20 million unemployed. One out of four individuals of working age in Michigan are now unemployed. Do you see that, the unemployment factor, and a lot of these unemployment numbers coming out of small business, not exclusively, of course, but primarily, where, you know, could that break the back of the economy?
It depends on how long the virus. You tell me how long the virus is going to hang on, and I'll tell you what the economy is going to do, and I'll tell you what the stock market is going to do. But right now, it's unanalyzable. My best sources tell me that they're going to start trying to open things, you know, initially in mid-May. So whether that's true or not remains to be seen. It's the best guess that the people I talk to at the CDC in Atlanta can put together. So I don't think we should pay much attention to the unemployment figures. It's just okay. Like, I don't think you should pay much attention to the earnings for this quarter or next, because you know they're going to be bad. And I think the market's going to look past that and look at the recovery. I mean, what if this is a V-shaped recovery like we saw in 2018?
Right.
Nobody's expecting that.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, on a personal note, the country is adhering to the safer at home quarantine mandates from cities, counties, the federal government. How are you weathering the quarantine yourself? I've been working out of my home for 3 weeks now today, and it's wearing. How are you holding up?
Well, what you find over time, the American people initially are very compliant. You know, they tell them to stay in their houses and shelter. But, you know, after, you know, close to a month of this, I think the American public is wearing thin on that, and I think they're going to put pressure on the government to, get the country reopened again. So we're not really under a quarantine here in Florida. There's not a whole lot of things that are open. I mean, the grocery stores, the drug stores. There are some businesses that are open. But people are driving around. People are out walking, riding bicycles. But I think people are getting tired of it. And I do think there's going to be pressure brought on the government to, you know, get this country reopened.
Yeah, understood. With your portfolio manager colleagues out of New York, Boston, other parts of the country, are they generally on the consensus that, you know, we'll be coming out of this, you know, from a stock market standpoint, pretty well? Or, you know, short of a yet another black swan situation, is there anybody really on the sell side that's sticking to the sell side? And, you know, knowing that, you know, I realize that you interact with a lot of industry managers and so on. But is there anybody that's really just, yeah, this is going to be a lot worse than, and I know it's hard to, it's not possible to analyze a virus, but from your colleagues, is it pretty negative or is it fairly positive, just as a general consensus?
I helped manage $1.7 billion for capital wealth planning down in Naples. And we had 13% cash on my sell signal in mid-January. And we have put some of that money back to work. And we buy large cap, blue chip, dividend paying stocks. And then tactically sell 1 to 2 month out of the money calls against it. And we generate about 3.5% from dividends. And we generate about 3.5% from option premiums. But unlike other option writing funds, they go in and buy stock and immediately sell a covered call against it. So if the market rallies, they lose their position. So going into the end of the last year, we had zero options written against 28 positions in the portfolio. Right now, we have 23 or 24 positions on. We've got 12 short-term out-of-the-money calls. Our strategy is never going to outperform, but we get about 90% upside capture with the market. Right. We only have about 60 to 65% downside capture. And
beautiful.
We're generating, right now we're generating 8% in terms of a taxable distribution between the dividends and the option premium. So somebody like me that's 70 years old that doesn't care if they really outperform, they just don't want to, you know, outperform on the downside, it's like the ideal investment. So we've weathered through this thing pretty darn well, and we're pretty darn optimistic about the stock market going forward.
Beautiful. Yeah, those are impressive numbers for core money, whether it's taxable or retirement money. Jeff, what is the web address for Capital Wealth? If you'd like to give it, you're welcome to.
All you have to do is Google Capital Wealth Planning.
Perfect.
Or you can send me an email at jeff@saut, that's SAUT strategy, one word, .com. And I also have a web address. It's www.softstrategy.com.
Perfect. Wonderful. Jeff, thanks so much for the time today. This is so timely with what is happening in the markets, the country, the world. We really appreciate your insight and sharing it with our listeners. And we hope we can have you back and maybe in better times. And in the meantime, we wish you well and thanks so much.
Manage the risk.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on The Anderson Files.